talking about the SRP program, want to update the website. It's srpnet.com, srpnet, and do a search trees for the workshop.
That's also at the community calendar at rosieonthehouse.com. Just scroll down on the bottom right-hand side, all upcoming events. We finally have events to post again. We've also got the events tab on the top. So we've got it posted there, or you can go directly to their website, however you get there. But we have our talking points. We need to rifle through a number of these before we run out of time. This hour always goes faster than...
It does. and you know, this is such a prime time for so many things. This date today, the 12th of February, is so close to that magic date of February 15th, which is sort of our average last day of frost for the Phoenix area. That might be a little bit later in for the Tucson area, but we have a check your local area for the average last day of frost, because that's the day that you can begin doing some pruning. You can cut back your frost damage. You can begin to do the hard pruning on some of your shrubs that you want to control the size, control their size. It's time for rejuvenation pruning, restoration pruning, where you're going to be doing that radical pruning or possibly just thinning heavily to try to bring some of those larger shrubs under control. So if this is kind of our prime time, you know.
If by some chance we do end up with a frost, it's not going to be long enough or hard enough to do any real damage.
Yeah, and you want to look out, you know, if we had a frost warning coming up in the next week or so, definitely look out on your calendar, because that would push that date back a week or two. But if we don't have a frost warning, this is kind of your green light to begin to do more pruning in the spring.
And what are we doing in pruning? You don't have to do it if your tree doesn't need it. What are you looking for when we say, okay, it's time to prune, I'm looking at my tree, what am I trying to decipher here? And how do you, what's the proper thinning? I've got a couple mulberries mm-hmm. that I look at, and I'm like, man, it seems like there's a lot of branches in there. I could thin that out, but I'm like, does it need it? I don't know.
Good question. And just because we have the green light doesn't mean you have to go. Because there are some of you who have those trees, those plants, that generally, like your yellow bells, orange jubilee, and others, that usually freeze back this time of year, and because they haven't, because we had a very mild winter, this might be the year that you don't want to prune them back, because you want to see them get a little bit taller. Then, should we have a freeze next year, you've allowed that tree to grow without any heavy pruning, so that the following year the freeze will be less damaging to the plant. Because if we cut them back every year, then they're going to freeze, from the outside in. And, you know, this might be the year to give that tree that extra year of height and spread, so that in the coming years, that tree will never freeze back to the ground and die. I'm speaking especially of those of you who own ficus trees. This would be a great time to let those go and grow. Let them get ahead of the growth, because if you've got younger ficus trees, they're very susceptible to getting frozen all the way back to the ground, and you lose your entire tree. So this would be that good year to let them put on as much foliage as they can, and be a little more light-handed on your pruning.
On your pruning, you have a note that says renovation and rejuvenation. What is rejuvenating pruning?
Well, it's part of sustainable landscape management. And with shrubs, it's based on species. But usually you want to renovate them, at least down to one-third, clean out all the old canes, open up the crown of the plant at least every 3 to 5 years. And it gets the opportunity for light to penetrate all the way to the base of the plant. The plant will grow back more naturally and have a lot more flowers and actually use less water.
And bougainvilleas are one of those that you can go beyond a third. I mean, you can cut that down ground level.
Well, they usually freeze ground level, but
yeah, and that's usually when we do that with our fairy dusters and others that and lantana, they freeze all the way to the ground, so you have no choice. But there are some shrubs that can be pruned even if they don't freeze back, can be cut even more than a third to control their size. And you can sometimes dictate the size that you want your shrub to be at maturity, at full height, by how deeply you prune it in the in the spring. And again, it's species specific. You can't do that to all shrubs, but some of them lend themselves to a little bit heavier pruning, and this would be the time to do that.
It's a good way to eliminate the shearing. You know, if you have shrubs that have been sheared and sheared and sheared, and they only grow on the outside and they're all full of sticks in the middle, renovating and letting them start to grow more natural is beneficial for them.
And this is a really good time for pruning citrus as well, because if you're pruning now before the citrus bloom, so you're not going to be affecting so many flowers. You don't want to wait till they're in full bloom, and during the pruning process, knock all the flowers onto the ground and lose your fruit. But you're also pruning soon enough so that you allow the tree to recover a little bit before the hot weather comes. Because you can wait until your fruit hardens off and then do a little bit of pruning. But you definitely want to go lighter on the pruning the further into the summer we get on your citrus. So we always count February 15th as sort of the starting point for beginning to prune citrus. For the next month or so is the ideal time, because you'll, as I said, prune them before they put on a blossom.
And Valentine's Day is also one of those days, when speaking of citrus, that historically have been used as one of the three trigger dates for fertilizing.
Right. We talk about those three dates, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day, as being a great calendar days for reminding yourself to fertilize your citrus. And we have an early, a mid, and a late fertilizing program with Save-A-Tree that it follows that pretty much that same pattern. Because there are certain things that the tree needs, mainly nitrogen in the spring. We usually have a kelp treatment in the summer, and then a little lighter nitrogen, more heavier on the phosphorus and potassium in the fall. So we kind of, which really helps root development in those winter months. And you know, with the three fertilizing programs, it's just so good for your plants to get your full fruit production on your citrus and your other fruit trees, and of course, encouraging your bloom and your blossom on all of your flowering plants and shrubs.
Now, I still have a lot of fruit on my citrus, especially my lemons. My Pink Lady grapefruit still has a lot. I think we've cleaned up all of our oranges for the most part. But on those that still have hanging fruit, do I wait on those or go ahead and cut them? And any fruit that falls off on a branch I cut, just be ready to squeeze it that day?
Yeah, you know, you might want to just hold off your pruning on your citrus trees that still have fruit on them during the bloom cycle. You know, during those two or three or four weeks of citrus blooming, just be careful, because if you're picking the fruit, you're going to be knocking off the blossoms. But yes, there's some, like our Valencia oranges, which sweeten so late in the year, they'll carry the fruit all the way till May and June. And if you eat them now, they're a little bit tart, a little bit bitter. We have a Valencia orange that I just thought it was a lousy orange tree in my yard, till I've realized, no, it wasn't going to get fully sweet until May or June. And I have an Arizona sweet that sweetens almost immediately. And we were enjoying that fruit as early as January. So yeah, some of those late sweetening fruits, let those stay on the tree. So consequently, you'll have two generations of fruit on the tree at the same time. You'll have those oranges that haven't quite sweetened yet that you're going to be able to enjoy all the way into the early summer, but you'll get that new fruit that's developing in April after the bloom. So you'll have the new fruit and the old fruit on the tree at the same time.
We had a listener email a couple pictures of an orange tree wanting to know, what help can I give it, or should I replace it? And I'll pass this picture around, but it looks like it's up against a wall, so it's planted in a very, very tight area for growth. But it also looks pretty young, and citrus generally don't produce until third or fourth year. You'll get some earlier, but I mean, they really start producing good after they've been established for a few years. And even once they're established, any new growth that comes out on citrus, that isn't where your fruit comes on. It citrus produce on old wood.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It looks like quite a small tree, and it looks like there's some thrips damage. I can see some leaves are a little mottled and deformed. And probably some nutrient issues too, I can tell, with some little chlorosis.
Yeah.
But
I see a little bit of dieback on it too, and you know, a lot of times we get tip dieback when we have overwatering situations, phytophthora in the soil.
It looks overall healthy enough to
I would say get some nitrogen.
Give that tree an opportunity to go and grow.
We appreciate the calls and your questions, whether it's email, that's info@rosieonthehouse.com. Text questions, you can send a 411-923, or like that case where she was wanted to send us a picture to get our opinion on her citrus tree. That's sent to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We've got irrigation. We finally had some rain in the last month, which was wonderful. I had my lawn sprinklers off for almost 3 weeks. I just turned them back on this week. Just started to irrigate the trees again. But man, there's just something about that natural rain. Everything just greens up so naturally by itself that following week.
You really do need that.
I think your mic's off. There you go.
We do love that, to have our that natural rainfall. And speaking of which, we really encourage people as best you can to try to mimic rainfall with your irrigation system, which is less frequent, deep watering. And how do you achieve that? You can do it with bubblers, which is kind of the best way to irrigate your trees if you can, to have basically a flood irrigation over the surface as widely, as broadly as you can around the tree. That mimics nature as best you can. If you have a drip irrigation system, which are so common, probably 80% of our listeners probably have drip irrigation for their trees and shrubs, you can dial those in. You can get a great program. But remember, try to go as deeply as you can to the entire depth of the root zone every time you water, and then water as infrequently as you can. If you're going to be adjusting your timer right now, be sure that you're adding more. Don't just add more days to the cycles. Actually add more time to your current cycle. So if you have a 20-minute cycle, push it out to 30 minutes. So you're getting a little bit deeper saturation, because you're getting a lot more evaporation off the soil with the increased air temperatures. So what you want to do is keep that nice deep saturation level. Don't just throw another day or so on the cycle. That's going to end up having that same shallow watering, and more frequently can set up conditions for fungal pathogens.
On my drip irrigation for the trees that we do have set up on drip, the timer box itself, it stops at 6 hours. You know, it's not uncommon for me in the extreme summertime to have two cycles go back to back.
There you go.
I mean, it'll go for 12 hours on the larger trees in the heat of the summer.
Especially if you get runoff from your irrigation. So you can do three cycles in one day so it soaks in. There's a really good book or a flyer called Watering by Numbers. And it shows that you use a soil probe to determine the depth of your water. It's hard to say how many minutes. You take a probe and you put it in the soil. If it's moist, it goes in easy. If it's hard as a rock, it's dry. And so that's how you can determine how long you have to let it go to get to that depth of 3 feet for trees, and then work it that way.
And a soil probe isn't a screwdriver or a dowel. I mean, these
tree
probes.
It can be a big long screwdriver. Yeah, it could be a piece of lawn ornament.
Ground cover and your small shrubs, a long screwdriver can work, but for the trees, they're an actual soil probe.
3-foot-long fiberglass.
You can get them online. Lowe's has some, but they kind of take soil out of them. But the U of A Extension office was selling them. I think if you call them, they'll sell it to you through the door. Now,
ideally, you like the root zone to be able to dry out between waterings. You never want to put water on top of water on top of water. That sets up conditions for fungal pathogens. You're not doing your plants any favor, because the soil profile needs oxygen as much as it needs water. And if you're just drowning it with water continually, you've got a problem.